Allstate agent, you get an expert who knows the community and is committed to getting to know you, which means I can help you get the protection you want that fits you and your life. Are you in good hands? So contact me today, Brian Taylor, here in the upstate of South Carolina, for a free quote. So call me at 864-224-1617. That's 864-224-1617. Thank you.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich on The Roar.
What do you play for?
Play for the United States of America.
It's been 35 long years. Clifton, I've been waiting 35 years. It's finally coming home, baby. It's coming home.
You are looking live at Clemson Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina, where the game of the weekend is about to unfold.
Calma, regresa al backfield. De John Watson, pase, touchdown, touchdown, Clemson, Renzo, con un segundo.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.
How great is this? This could be the final play of the college season, perhaps, if Clemson gets a touchdown to win it. If Bama can hold them out, perhaps a field goal attempt for overtime. Watson, touchdown! Hunter Renfro, little man, makes another enormous play.
And Clemson runs out of the field and celebrates. They come to California and strike gold.
I think it creates a lot of excitement and a lot of fun stuff to write about and a lot of good. I mean, dang, what would Quack and Kelly talk about on the radio? They'd have nothing to talk about.
Now, Quack and Kelly.
Welcome in. Glad to have you with us. We're live on The Roar on a Friday, May 22nd, 2020. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich, emanating live from the Priority One Security Studios, PriorityTheNumberOneSecurity.com. Priority One Security, serious security. We appreciate you joining us from 105.5 FM via that medium. If you want to listen on your car or truck radio, we certainly appreciate that. 97.5 in Spartanburg, 1560 AM Cowpens. We welcome you as well. And across the fruited plain around globe on WCPM.FM.com, The Roar Radio, The Roar mobile app. Kelly, how are you?
Qualk. I'm doing good. I'm really enjoying some three-day weekend vibes. Feeling very good on this Friday. The sun's out. It was not monsooning on my drive to the station today. So really just hashtag blessed.
You know, this week has flown.
It has.
I feel like it's
May
really flown.
Has flown.
It has. We have gotten used to this now. We've gotten used to this now where every day doesn't seem like a huge drag. Now, I will say, I'm glad that we're not doing this forever. Like, I'm glad that we're moving back to a period where live sports are happening, and we should be glad about this. But I'm glad that we have settled in to the point that each day doesn't feel like a lifetime. I'm really glad about that.
For sure. It's weird that we've kind of gotten used to this. Now, I don't want to be used to this, so I'm going to be very excited. I think June, we're going to ease our way back in. We know there are some things on the calendar, golf, NASCAR, things like that, that we're very excited about. And then hopefully we get some NBA, maybe some MLB, if they can ever get their act together in July. And maybe we get some players back on campus. We have a really interesting article to discuss from The Athletic today where, who wrote this? David Ubin and the Athletic staff, they polled 45 student athletes, football student athletes, and asked them how they feel about coming back on campus and all these things. And the thing that I gathered from that article, Quack, was the student athletes don't care. Now, this was just a 45-person sample, and it was just football players. But the vast majority of these student-athletes responded and said, we want to get back on campus, we want to play, and we know our risk is pretty darn low, and we're tired of sitting around. Which, I understand that people feel that way. It might not be the best group to pull and then make decisions from, but I still thought it was very interesting that that's how these players felt in this small sample size.
It was interesting, too, to look at the relative uniformity of opinion. Like, not everybody was super strong in agreement on a lot of these, but on the spectrum, there were very few pessimists in this group of players, which we know is true. And the ones that were kind of like, I don't know. It didn't feel like people were really strong. Honestly, a lot of it was a very young person opinion. Like, I'm just tired of this. I just want to do something else. Like, can we just get back to I'm just over it. Let's just get back.
One guy did say that. I'm just ready to move on.
Yeah.
It's like, we all are. Okay, we all are.
I was listening to, this was so good. I listened to two really good podcasts that are going to help the show today. I heard Scott Van Pelt on with Mina Kimes. My show prep, in case you didn't know, and Kelly's show prep as well, it is vast and expansive. It involves listening to previous shows in the day, Mickey's show and Mickey and John's show and Brad and Ben's show. It involves listening to all that, hours and hours of content, but also listening to other things so that we bring a wide range of perspectives, reading a bunch of stuff in the mornings. It is a vast and expansive show prep. Scott Van Pelt on with Mina Kimes today. He gave, you know my thing about how I'm annoyed that you have to cut anything that you say that might lean toward open back up? Because it seems like you need people to, you need to make sure people know that you don't want everyone to die. Scott Van Pelt literally said that with Mina Kimes today. He was like, he was talking about golf coming back, and specifically the match this weekend with Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady against Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning. And he was talking about how, like, he feels like golf could have come back already, but he was kind of scared to go, like, way into that because people are so mean about it. I thought that was interesting.
And people will take you down in 2 seconds if they possibly even think you're implying that human lives don't matter, which no one believes that. Well, I guess some people do. I don't know. But no right-thinking person who's speaking on the subject and has a platform like Scott Van Pelt, who's on a national television channel, thinks that. I think we have to, with certain people, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they do value human life. You know, I would appreciate that if we could give at least some people that benefit of the doubt.
And the second one was Mac Brown was on with Kevin Negandhi, and they had a wide-ranging conversation. It was really, really good. Mac Brown actually quoted Dabo with, and I'm sure people are going to jump all over this, but it's a quote that Dabo had about name, image, likeness, where he said, you know, that he's concerned. And Mac Brown said there were actually several coaches who had this opinion. He said there are several coaches concerned that with name, image, likeness rules after games, you're not going to go up and shake hands with the other coach. You're going to go find the best player on that team and be like, what are you making from in endorsements? You want to come make endorsements here? And it's going to be like that. That's what Dabo said. He brought that up in a meeting, and Mac Brown was like, he actually did, yeah.
That coaches would do that?
Yeah.
To opposing players?
Yeah.
That's what's on their mind in that moment?
If you lose to a player from he's saying like a smaller school. Kind of like low-key what happens in basketball, right? Listen, I'm going to just say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with what I'm about to say, but it ain't not a factor. When Marquise Reed comes in a Little John and drops like 20 points and is the best player on the floor in a loss for Robert Morris, you don't think that's a little bit of a factor in where he decides to go transfer? I'm just saying it is something that probably will happen more than once that you're trying to go and like nudge up, be buddy with the best player on the other team. I thought it was interesting.
If you're a guy like Marquise Reed and you're averaging whatever he averaged at Robert Morris, 20 points per game, you're going to transfer. That's been happening since the beginning of time.
Sure. Well,
maybe not the beginning of time.
The last 30 years or so.
No, more than that, Quack. We've seen players who play really well at a mid-major to start their career, transfer somewhere else, and play well at a high major. That's happened for a long time.
Not like this, though. Not like this, where if you're a double-figure scorer at a mid-major, you're out.
Well, what's wrong with it, though? The kid wants to go play against better competition and play on a bigger stage, and he deserves to do that. I don't see the problem.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying he specifically said that's what Dabo said in one of their meetings about.
I find that hard to believe.
Name, image, likeness.
I think that's a little bit.
I don't find it hard to believe at all.
No, Quack.
I think that's obviously going to happen. I mean, look, I think we're accepting that. right? That is going to happen.
I get what you're saying, that coaches will could be more likely to contact players and use name, image, likeness to their benefit, saying, we could get you a deal here in Clemson with a car dealership, whatever. I get that. But on the field, after a game? Really?
Yeah.
I'm not buying that.
Stay in touch.
We'll talk later.
I think it happens now.
Okay, there's a difference between stay in touch, we'll talk later, and let me break down my five-step plan of how you can get paid if you come here. I just don't think coaches are focused on that after a game.
I think coaches are always recruiting. I think somebody's going to find that guy. Like I said, I think it happens now. I'm pretty sure
we will still see head coach handshakes, Kwok. Those are going to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a little bit extreme, that you're not going to brush off the head coach to go find the best player.
I am such on high alert recently for the fear-mongering headline. My spidey sense is up. It's tingling. Okay, so maybe it was an overreaction because I felt like that was a little bit of a fear-mongering headline. Coaches will now throw money at other players post-game to get them to come to their school. Like, I'm just not buying it.
Well, I mean, this was not in the plan to start the show, but I mean, I think it is going to happen. I think it's just inevitable. You're inviting name, image, likeness. You're inviting this kind of stuff, and we're saying it's okay. We're saying we're cool.
All right, we'll see what happens. We'll see which players say that coach came up to me right after the game on the field,
gave me a deal. Like what you're saying is an extreme version of that. Like Davo's obviously being hyperbolic in this. He's not going to brush off a handshake with somebody.
You just admitted that. You wouldn't admit that it was hyperbolic until right now.
Well,
and that was my whole point. It's hyperbolic.
It obviously is hyperbolic, but it is going to happen. It's happening right now. It is going to happen more. It already happens in other sports where there's more freedom of movement. I'm just making that point. All I was trying to say was Mac Brown had some interesting things to say, was kind of my point in bringing that up. And one of the things he said was he's backed off his stance that he couldn't even imagine having games without fans. But like a lot of these players, because he said early on, he's like, what do you mean? We're not going to have fans. Are you kidding me? Of course we're going to have fans.
LeBron said that too.
We're not going to have games if not fans.
Everyone's backed off of everything they've said.
Right. And so, but what's interesting is a lot of these players didn't. A lot of these players said, if we're coming back without fans, I don't want to. Because that was a divisive issue. 24 of the 45 players said, I would rather start the season later than start without fans. That was interesting to me, that you got more than 50-50, but just more than 50-50.
Well,
so we do not want to play games without fans in the stands.
I get that you would rather play games with fans in the stands. I would rather get on a plane and fly to Texas today, but you can't do that right now. You know, I think there's a difference between I want this versus I won't play unless there are fans.
Right.
Of course you want to have fans.
Well, but would you rather start the season? I mean, I do think that's a fair question. Would you rather start the season in September without fans, or would you rather wait till October and have fans?
I don't understand waiting when, from what we know, again, everyone's been wrong, so who knows, but from what we know, August and September seems like a pretty good window for things to happen.
Sure.
So why would you delay? That doesn't make sense unless you're delaying a whole year.
I'm just talking about the preference of the players.
I understand players have preferences, but
they're saying I don't think that should determine
what we
it.
Do, honestly.
Right. I'm not saying it should. I'm not saying we should just take whatever the players say and just go do it. That's not my argument. I'm just pointing out that they were split on it.
Every student athlete would prefer to play in front of fans. That's
well.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think everyone. In fact, there are some coaches who have said, I don't care. Like Jim Harbaugh. I say some coaches. Jim Harbaugh's basically like, I don't even care about fans. Like that.
Jim Harbaugh's like, wait, insane. We have fans? There's fans here?
Like they have the largest stadium in college football, right? In terms of capacity. I think that's still the case. And he's like, shoot, I don't care if we have fans. And all his bosses had a stroke.
Of course. Like, everyone at Michigan is like, Harbaugh, please,
what are you talking about?
please, for once in your life, be quiet.
All right, you watched the replay of the national championship game last night.
Oh, yeah. Did you?
I watched a good bit of it. What was your overarching thought?
for the entire first half, I was thinking, how does Clemson win this game? The whole first half. And I remember thinking that when I was there. So that was my main thought in the first half was, you know, it's crazy that Clemson comes back and wins this game. It really is. And then the second half, just the big play after big play and the poise and so many little plays like the Renfro tackle that just kept things alive. And then when Jalen Hurts scored, I know in hindsight we all thought, oh, they left Clemson too much time, blah, blah, blah. I did think that in the stadium. But, and correct me if I'm wrong, Quack, I don't know if you believe this or Clemson fans, and you guys can get in on this today, 654-ROAR. Text line 986-1566. It was hard that whole game to truly believe that Clemson was going to win it until it happened. And so, yes, did I trust Deshaun? Of course. Did I think Clemson had enough time and Bama left too much time on the clock? Yes, I did. But it almost was like I couldn't believe until it actually happened. I know that faith is the belief in things unseen. I know that, Kwok. But I think with Clemson, I had to see it. I was still there, and I was a fan, and I was rooting for it. But I almost had to see it before I thought, oh, my gosh, this really happened.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. So many people have revised that to say
yes,
that
and that's just not true.
The very moment that Jalen Hurts crossed the goal line, you knew there was too much time, and I never once wavered, and I never sweated, and I stood with my arms crossed, and as the Alabama fans were going nuts around me, I stood stoic and stared with a grin on my face because I knew Clemson was going to win the game. It's so revisionist because, and I'll make an example here, it's like playing NCAA football, or sometimes Madden, but I've seen it more the case, NCAA football. And we all get good at NCAA football when you play it for years and years. And so you start playing on like Heisman mode. You start playing on highest mode. You have to play so freaking well to win games on Heisman mode sometimes. Like perfect. Like if you do one thing, if every single receiver is covered, there's like one of those receivers where you can try to squeeze a ball in and it's not going to be picked, and you better use your secondary controls exactly right or that thing is getting housed. If you don't do everything exactly right, if you don't make adjustments at the line, then you are getting destroyed. Your receivers are dropping the ball. Your guy with 99 speed is going to get caught by the defensive tackle. Like something is going to go wrong in this play. It felt like that watching this game. I actually put myself back in that headspace. And there were moments on the final drive when you can't possibly know. Like, all right, Dabo's got two timeouts, and it's under 25 seconds. Like, when are you going to use this, bro? Like, you going to ever call these timeouts? Like, why are you not using these? Why do you have these timeouts left? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, 6 seconds left. If this thing goes badly, and you almost didn't even have any time. If this thing goes badly, if Deshaun gets sacked and they can't call timeout, he's running around, they're not even going to get a field goal. We're not even going to tie this game and keep playing. There are so many times on that last drive where I know for a fact – people wet their pants, and in hindsight, they're like, oh, we knew the whole time. We never had any doubt whatsoever. You had doubt on every play. When C.J. Fuller almost housed the kick return and got tackled, RIP, and got tackled.
That was such a big play, though.
Like, did you not think for a second that's your chance? Like, you barely scored on this. It's like the year before where you dropped 40 on them.
I think that was the chance. I mean, it was comforting that you only need a field goal to tie. That was a little comforting. I was just glad we got something on the kick return.
Man.
Quack, Matt in the big brown truck gets in on the text line. He says, Kelly, were you chanting Saban, 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 like Jabbar, Jabbar, Jabbar on your walk around the stadium in the first quarter? We can talk about that, Quack, after Brett, because I tweeted last night what I did during that first half. Just, I don't know why, but I'd love to hear your reactions in the first half when things weren't going as well. And some other texters of what they did in the first half to try to calm themselves down a little bit. Or if you're like Kwok saying, if you knew the whole time and you were calm the whole time and you knew, you know what, Clemson's going to win regardless. You're lying, but I'd love to hear your story.
That's right. We'd love to have you lie to our faces. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. Brett Friedlander is going to join us next.
For the past 2 months, our homes have been, well, lived in more than ever before. Kitchens have become science labs, sofas have become jungle gyms, and carpet has become the official canvas of the quarantine. Restore your home to its original glory with the help of Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Right now, get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $129, plus a complimentary cleaning and disinfecting of common touch surfaces. Call 864-558-7300 or schedule for your cleaning online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
The Blue Heron Restaurant, located in historic downtown Pendleton, is open for business, offering dine-in service. Enjoy your favorite menu items or that bottle of wine you've been craving. Char-grilled filet mignon, sushi, crab cakes, chicken wings, amaretto cheesecake, and so much more. Are you hungry yet? If you're not quite ready to dine in, call in a curbside order for pickup. To place your to-go order, call 864-653-3354 or 864-653-3364. Visit the Blue Heron on Facebook and Instagram for specials and updates.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
George Coleman Ford is offering big savings right now with great financing packages. All new 2020 models, excluding Super Duties, are available with 0% interest for 72 months. And your first payment isn't due for 120 days. There are never any hidden fees at the dealership with multiple President's Awards. George Coleman Ford, four generations doing business right. George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. Offer good with approved credit with finance through Ford Motor Credit. For now, Joe's New York Pizza is open Tuesday through Sunday, 4 to 8. Joe's can't thank you enough for your unwavering support and looks forward to seeing you back in both the Seneca and Clemson locations as soon as possible. In the meantime, check out the great daily specials Joe's has waiting for you on their Facebook page, like buy one, get one free pizzas on Tuesdays. Already a huge success. It's all about the sauce. And most importantly, it's all about you, the loyal Joe's New York Pizza customers. Thank you for your support.
Looking to purchase or refinance your home? Look no further. First Home Equity Loans in Greenville is veteran-owned and locally operated, in business for 23 years. Named best mortgage company in the upstate, offering free mortgage analysis to customize loans to each individual, competitive rates, and first-class service. Call First Home Equity Loans today at 864-438-4550. That's 864-438-4550. Or visit them online at mortgageloan.com.
Big Zach's Fireworks in Anderson is having a huge Memorial Day sale now through Monday. Get all your favorite fireworks to celebrate Memorial Day weekend. Big Zach's has plenty of fireworks at their two convenient locations, both right off Highway 85 in Anderson, 4604 Clemson Boulevard, and 4512 Highway 81. Big Zach's carries all the latest fireworks as well as your traditional favorites. Celebrate Memorial Day weekend and light up the sky at Big Zach's Memorial Day sale now through Monday.
We're like family here. Crazy Uncle Eddie style family, but family. You're listening to The Roar.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones. 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone. So don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country
Hour
song.
One continues. Out of bounds. William Quagamos, Kelly Gramlich live, emanating from the Priority One Security Studios, part of the number1security.com. Priority One Security, serious security. Here's a question that we're going to ask here in hour one of the program. And it comes to us courtesy of our friend Grace Rayner from The Athletic. This question is an almost impossible question to answer because you have to pick one. And no one wants to pick one of the choices here. The question is, and this is the question that she got in a mailbag of sorts from The Athletic from someone named Ryan. Says, a minute left in a national championship game, down by 6, the ball's at your own 20. Who do you want as your quarterback, Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence? We will discuss that. And in fact, it is my first question to our next guest, Brett Friedlander from NSJOnline.com, the North State Journal, and Wolfpack Maven. He is on Twitter at BFreedACC. He joins us each and every Friday. What's up, Brett?
Not much. First of all, Grace is really good at what she does. I really like her work. And number two, the question is an absolute no-brainer. With all due respect to Trevor Lawrence, the answer is, and always, until proven otherwise, Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's done it. He's won a national championship. Look what he's done in the NFL. I mean, this is not to take anything away from Trevor Lawrence. It is 100% to say that Deshaun Watson is and has been a special, special quarterback and leader. That's my take.
Brett, I don't disagree with you. I know Quack and I are going to discuss this, but there's just, and again, we talked about this because, you know, they re-aired the Clemson-Alabama National Championship game from 2016 last night on ESPN, and everyone believes in their team, right? Everyone has faith.
Yep.
But it is tough to truly believe in something unseen until you actually see it. And we've seen Deshaun really put in that pressure situation. Of course, Trevor's been good under pressure, but in the national championship that he won, it was a blowout, and he did play extremely well. But that's part of it with Deshaun, right? But you're saying that Trevor could change. He could change this answer.
Come back and talk to me next year, because they run the table again, and Trevor wins the thing, and has to drive the length of the field when behind late in the game, and make a clutch throw to win the thing. Then we'll talk and we'll revisit it. But as of right now, I mean, just look at the body of work. And besides, I mean, it isn't like the ukulele guy. Isn't he supposed to be better than Trevor anyway? Right.
According to Dabo,
we shall see for sure. Now,
but again, you go with the sure thing. You go with the proven, the body of work, as opposed to the unproven. We don't know. I mean, that game, and this is not to say that losing to LSU was Trevor Lawrence's fault, because God knows it wasn't. That was a tremendous LSU team that they lost to, and he did what he could. But I mean, he was not put in a situation where Deshaun Watson was. I mean, if Deshaun doesn't drive them the length of the field and throw that clutch pass, and obviously, the catch had to be made too. But I mean, how do you recreate that? And to me, that's just the clincher.
Well, watching that game last night, it certainly whet our appetites for what is potentially to come, coming up this summer and fall with college football. And NC State and North Carolina both, they've gotten a little closer to that. I know Clemson said they're basically full go as usual for summer and for the fall. What do you make of the new dates, particularly given that, North Carolina, some people might not know this, North Carolina, South Carolina, in terms of relative to the population size, have had a very similar battle with coronavirus. North Carolina's numbers a little elevated because of population. But what are your thoughts on just NC State putting it down in stone? We're going to have sort of that Notre Dame, South Carolina model, as we've talked about, and what it means moving forward.
Well, I think you're going to see pretty much everybody jumping on that bandwagon. I just think that Carolina and State have kind of jumped on a little early. Listen, here's the thing, and this has nothing to do with politics. This has nothing to do with public health. This has everything to do with economics. And I think that athletic departments have to have football. College athletics, as we know them, will cease to exist if there is no football for this for 2020, and that's just a reality, because college football funds everything else. I mean, look at East Carolina yesterday, eliminated men's and women's swimming and men's and women's tennis. Why? Because they're losing a lot of money, and of course they made some bad decisions as to which conference they're in, and their attendance is off because their football program has suffered. But this whole thing is it's going to mushroom. And so if there is no football, there is going to be nothing else. And so I think you're seeing schools come to that reality. I think you see Louisville has already said their athletes are definitely coming back and will definitely start up here in the first week of June. And again, you're going to see more, because nobody wants to get put at a disadvantage. So you can debate all you want about how smart it is. You can debate all you want about whether it's a wise move in relation to the numbers. that this is what's going to happen. It is going to happen. And it's just a matter of, will football start on time? Will it, you know, it's just the logistics of it. It's going to happen.
Brett, I'm with you on that. And then we'll see how that affects basketball and kind of the rest of the sports. But well, I think whenever football starts, that will affect it. Yeah.
Because I honestly think basketball is going to get pushed back, too. I think everything is going to get pushed back. And you know, we may see a shortened season and all, but football has got to be the driver.
Mm-hmm.
If basketball season gets cut short and they only play conference games or they only play a handful of, you know, games in December before they start up, it's not going to be the economic, catastrophe it would if football doesn't happen. And if baseball season either doesn't happen or is shortened, again, it's not going to be the financial problem. Football season has got to happen, and everything else will adjust and accordingly.
Speaking of baseball, you bring up baseball, and unfortunately, baseball seems to have been one of the biggest casualties recently of different schools eliminating programs. Furman, which is right up the road here from Clemson, eliminated baseball, and we've talked about that a lot this week. I saw Kendall Rogers tweet out an idea that's being thrown around as the new college baseball model to have the College World Series in July and start the season in mid-March. We know that's because of coronavirus, but even without coronavirus, what would you think of this schedule and just kind of tweaking the schedule a little bit for college baseball?
Well, from a selfish standpoint, as someone who is doing, college sports for a living, that means content all the way through the summer until football starts up. So I would love it. But there are a lot of unintended consequences that might prevent that from happening. Number one is, what do you do about juniors who now get drafted in June? What does Major League Baseball do with their draft? Do they move it back? Because these kids usually sign in late June and early July. They're playing a half-season rookie ball already. So, what do you do about that? What do you do about keeping facilities open during a time in which schools usually kind of have a down period? There are a lot of logistics to work out. I wouldn't mind seeing it, and I think that coaches wouldn't mind seeing it either. But let's see how it plays out, because there are things that have to be worked out before you say, well, let's do this. And also, here's the other thing too: what about Summerwood Bat League? The Cape Cod League, the Coastal Plain League. Does playing college baseball into July put them out of business? And how does that affect the development of kids who, are on college baseball teams but don't get a lot of playing time and who use that summer to get at bats and to get innings pitched so that when they go back to their colleges, they can be ready to take, bigger roles too. So there are a lot of things that have to be worked out, but it's sure an interesting subject to talk about.
Visit with Brett Freelander, NSJOnline.com, the North State Journal, and Wolfpack Maven as well. I want to get back to what you said about East Carolina, because, we've been dealing with the fallout from Furman cutting baseball and men's lacrosse here locally. Didn't really see that coming in many respects. There have only been a handful of athletic departments, really, around the country that have announced that they're cutting scholarship sports, and a lot of those have been up in the upper Midwest and in that group of five level. ECU seems like a sport, rabid fan base, relatively large student body. It is a school that has cared about athletics to a certain degree for a long time. It was not the place that I expect, again, maybe more than any others, to be cutting multiple sports. And it does beg the question, Brett. I mean, we've seen some instability. We've seen maybe some poor leadership and poor decision-making. How far back does this go? I mean, how many different years of poor management does ECU get to look back on and blame for the decision that they've had to make, where they cut it down by like 20%?
That's a very good point, because there have been a lot of mistakes that were made, and the former athletic director, Jeff Compher, really put that athletic department in a bad situation. He started by firing Ruffin McNeil as the football coach. They were doing well. They lost their quarterback the week before the season started. They only went 5-7. If they would have won their last game, they would have gone to a bowl. And he didn't like the image that Ruff projected, and so he fired him and didn't have a replacement in place. And everything has gone downhill because the football program has gone into the tank. But he also made some really bad decisions as far as renovating the football stadium. They just built an incredibly nice suites and press box, but it cost a lot of money, and revenues were down, and now they're $10 million in the hole. They were actually $7 million in the hole until this coronavirus thing happened. And now they're $10 million short, and you got to make, you got to make up for that. And here's the other thing, too. I don't know if it was a Terry Holland decision or a Jeff Comfort decision. I can't remember. But getting into the American Athletic Conference made some sense from a competitive standpoint, but it just doesn't make sense from an economic standpoint, because it's a travel league. I mean, you've got schools as far as Wichita, Kansas, and Dallas, Texas, and from a football and basketball standpoint, okay, but now your tennis team and your baseball team and your swimming team and your soccer teams are all traveling all over the country, and you can't do it by bus, and that's going to cost a lot of money, and they really have, I think missed the boat there, and so there were a lot of mistakes that were made. And Greenville, North Carolina is not like Greenville, South Carolina. It's not on an interstate. It's really isolated. And as such, people don't want to go play there because it's a tough place to get to. You can't get there from here. You got to fly into Raleigh, and you got to bus all the way down. It's an hour and a half drive. And so there's a lot of things that are going against ECU, and the decisions that were made really put them into a bad situation. And to be honest with you, I think what may end up happening out of this and what should happen out of this is a restructuring of the Group of Five. And, you see conferences like Conference USA and Sun Belt and the American, where they're spread all over the place. I think what you may see, the next step is conferences starting to look at maybe, restructuring so that they don't have to travel quite as far. I mean, how about a conference that involves East Carolina, Appalachian State, Charlotte, Coastal Carolina, Old Dominion, and maybe James Madison? That would make sense. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe you might see regional conferences start up like that as a self-preservation kind of move, and we'll see how long that takes.
Brett, really good points there. I want to ask you one more question. This has been a story that's been a little buried with all the news recently about football and things like that, but Mac McClung, who is a transfer from Georgetown, he's the best transfer left on the market, I would say, has narrowed down his top seven. Wake Forest is on that list. Do you have any insight there? What can you tell us about the possibility he ends up at Wake?
Yeah, my intel says that he's going to end up at Wake. Yeah,
nice.
And you look at some of the schools that he's considering. Listen, Steve Forbes has hit the ground running, and I don't know that they're going to be competitive next year, but, they're not going to be an absolute joke. They're going to be, at least a halfway decent team, because he's definitely attracted some talent. He's already got a commitment from a point guard from UNLV, who's a graduate transfer, is going to be eligible next year. And if he brings this kid in from Georgetown, it's definitely going to help. So good for him, and hopefully that happens, because the ACC, and in particular, and especially basketball here in North Carolina, is always better when everybody's competitive and you just don't have that Vanderbilt. You know what I mean? You want every game to at least be competitive, and it hasn't been in recent years. You've had that bottom tier, and I think that hopefully that'll change with Steve Forbes now at Wake Forest.
Brett, we appreciate it as always. Check him out on Twitter at BeFreedACC. Any big plans for the long weekend for you?
Yeah, just kind of hang out and relax for a while. We've been traveling around, and there've been a lot of things going on. I'm just gonna, stay around here, and maybe, my wife and I will take the bikes out and get on the trail and just kind of relax, because there hasn't been too much relaxing lately.
Brett, I know you're a health nut now, which you look great, by the way.
Yes, I am,
but
actually,
you need to have yourself a hamburger or a hot dog this weekend. I am demanding it, Brett.
Well, you know what? We might grill out with some of the neighbors.
There you go.
Social distancing, of course. And I got to tell you, too, we had a cheat night last night. My wife and I had some lasagna. So, I'm maintaining now. I'm not losing. So it's all good.
That's the name of the game, Brett. That's the name of the game. Just maintain. Brett, we appreciate
right.
it, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your long weekend. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks a lot. And it's always good to have the sun out, too, because we haven't seen that in a while.
Golly, don't we know it. Thanks, my man. Enjoy it. Unbelievable. He's in the same boat we are.
Yes.
Before, you see the sun, it's a time of rejoicing.
Before we go to break.
And I got a body by lasagna.
That feels right. That feels right. Although, that's Brett's cheat.
Right,
that's
right. Really no body. More, but any mention of lasagna.
And I got a body by lasagna.
We got to get Dickie V in there.
We'll come back to some of those topics right after this.
It's time for another Solid Orange Clemson Classic Replay this Saturday at 10 a.m. Relive the second national championship of the Dabo Swinney era as the Tigers and the Crimson Tide face off in the championship game of the 2019 College Football Playoff. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, Hartwell Village Shopping Center, Burton Properties, Granger Nissan, Priority Run, Krispy Kreme, and Toyota of Easley. 44-16, the Tigers and the Tide. This Clemson Classic game replay Saturday at 10 a.m. on The Roar.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home of the lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Now is the time to get your porch, patio, or pool furniture from the Craft Stove Store and Patio. America's best outdoor furniture by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamint, Summer Classics, Brizesta Recycled Plastic, and Palm Springs Rattan. Take advantage of special seasonal prices on all in-stock patio furniture at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. Delivery and setup is always available at the Craft Stove Store and Patio. 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Hi, this is Gary, the mortgage expert. Did you know my FHA 30-year mortgage is 2.99%? Here at Rate Saver Mortgage, we have rates that destroy the big banks. If you're buying a home or refinancing, call 979-1111, 979-1111, or go to GaryTheMortgageExpert.com. APR equals 4.49% based on $250,000 loan and 680 score. Subject to approval. Rate subject to change. Gary's NMLS number is 107-429. Rate Saver Mortgage, MLS 184-7969.
Equal housing lender.
Electric City Signs and Neon, over 50 years of sign design, fabrication, installation, and maintenance in the upstate, specializing in neon, plastic, flex face, channel letter, and LED message signs. Electric City Signs is ready to serve you with the highest level of satisfaction. Have questions? No problem. Their experienced team will see your project through inception to installation. Professional sign services at the best price. It's got to be Electric City Signs and Neon. Visit electriccitysigns.com or call 225-5351 today. Go Tigers!
Pros, keep those exterior maintenance projects going strong. Count on Lowe's for the items and supplies you need to get the job done. And now, take advantage of Memorial Day bulk savings on products like OSB, fence pickets, shingles, and more. We buy in bulk and pass those savings on to you. Shop today at lowesforpros.com. And don't forget, we're open at 6 a.m. so you can get started early and make the most of your day. Together, we can keep your business moving. Price and selection vary by market, U.S. only.
Hello, Roar listeners. This is Brian Taylor of the Brian Taylor Allstate Agency. When it comes to protecting what matters most, it makes sense to choose an insurance agent that's a part of your community. I know the ins and outs of both owning and protecting a home in your neighborhood. By choosing a local Allstate agent, you get an expert who knows the community and is committed to getting to know you. Which means I can help you get the protection you want that fits you and your life. Are you in good hands? So contact me today, Brian Taylor, here in the upstate of South Carolina, for a free quote. So call me at 864-224-1617. That's 864-224-1617. Thank you.
Covering Spartanburg County with 15 hours of local sports programming. AM 1560, The Roar.
All right, hour one continues out of bounds. William Quagmire, Kelly Gramlich here live. Coming from the Priority One Security Studios into your earlobes. PriorityTheNumberOneSecurity.com. really just in your ears. I'm not sure why I threw lobes in there.
That was
a
lot.
It's a Friday. That was a lot. Hey, the two big questions that we asked Brett, I feel like they're both worthy of discussion. The first one is Grace's question, which Will Vandervoort has gotten in on the personal text line and says it's not even close. Everyone says it's not even close. And it honestly, it's not even close. If you got a minute left, down six, you got one drive, the answer is not Trevor Lawrence. The answer is Deshaun Watson, right?
Yes.
Do you think it's not even close?
It's tough to say it's not even close. I would be fine having either of them. You know, I would feel good about my chances with either of them. But if you're making me choose, I'm choosing Deshaun. And I think there's a trust level with Deshaun. There is an experience in big games with Deshaun. Part of it is, and this is not Trevor Lawrence's fault, but Deshaun was tested more in the regular season, you know? We've seen Deshaun perform really well in these games. Now, the one game no one's mentioning is the Pittsburgh game. Just to put that out there. No one seems to be mentioning that. There was a time where he did throw some costly interceptions that lost you the game. I hate to bring that up, but that did happen.
That is actually, I was going to bring that up because I think it, like, if you want to ask this very specific question, then you get an obvious answer. It does lead you to think, because of how we see the world.
We can't paint Deshaun as perfect.
Right. That Deshaun is, like, way better than Trevor Lawrence. And here's just generally what I think we do in sports. We revel in comebacks as if the best thing you can do as a quarterback is fall behind.
Right.
And then bring your team back. Like that, don't we think that, like, the best thing you can do as a quarterback is bring your team from behind? And it's almost like a neutral thing. Like, doesn't matter either here nor there that you were ahead the whole time and blew a team out to even play in the fourth quarter. Like, didn't throw any picks.
You shouldn't be punished for that.
You know, like, it's the idea that we talk about the Renfro tackle and all this stuff. And look, that Alabama team was really good. I think that Alabama team was probably as good as the team Trevor Lawrence played on. I think actually thinking about that question has me leaning toward Trevor Lawrence as a better player than Deshaun Watson. Because you're right that Trevor hasn't been tested. But also, the teams that Trevor was on, like, don't struggle offensively early in game. Like, second, third quarter, they just blow teams out. And then the fourth quarter, they just sit there, right?
Well, and part of this is the last time we saw Trevor Lawrence, he didn't look that good against LSU.
Right.
So that might have been, you know, that's still in our brains right now. I think that's part of it. And, of course, the last time we saw Deshaun in a Clemson uniform, he did what he did last night on the replay, which was one of the greatest drives in college football history. So the recency bias there is a little staggering. I just think with Deshaun, I just trust him more. It's hard to explain it, but and maybe it's because of what I last saw from each of the quarterbacks. And, you know, maybe Trevor as a junior will take that leap that Deshaun did. Not that Trevor has a lot to improve on, but we all trusted Deshaun as a sophomore. But I think as a junior, even when he did throw, what was it, maybe 17 interceptions that season, which was more than Trevor's ever thrown in a season, it still just felt like, especially down the stretch post-Pitt game, that Deshaun wasn't going to lose. He wasn't. After the Pitt loss, he was so determined to lead Clemson to a national championship. There was just something about him in that playoff where he was, and again, he struggled a bit in that first half. That first half wasn't great. That's why I had to go out into the stadium and take a lap and call my dad and just let it all out for a little bit and then get back in the stands. But I don't know. And maybe next year, I think Trevor has plenty of time to make this more of a battle. But I think right now most fans would say Deshaun. And if we're wrong, please text us, call us, let us know what you think.
Well, look, I think it would be crazy to say, I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. I think it'd be crazy to say Trevor Lawrence because Deshaun did it in the biggest moment, the biggest stage. And lest we forget, they gave up a jillion yards the year before, and Deshaun kept them within striking distance almost single-handedly.
Yes.
Even the Pitt game, Will Vandervoor brings up on the personal text line.
Deshaun, he had like 580 yards.
580
but
yards.
Those picks at the goal line lost the game.
Yeah,
they did.
They did. And so, again, it's like, would you rather have a quarterback that sometimes gets behind and then has to bring the team back and is great at it, or would you rather have a quarterback that just blows everybody's doors off? It's like, would you rather have a team that's super clutch in the fourth quarter in the NBA, or would you rather have Steph Curry getting fanned and fed grapes for the fourth quarter because they were so good for three quarters? Like, there's a certain type of ability to close out games that are close that doesn't involve closing them out earlier. So it's almost like the question, would you rather have a quarterback that can win the game in three quarters, or would you rather have a quarterback that can close out in four? I know that's simplistic.
Sure.
That's
and Deshaun was playing, he was playing better teams. There's no doubt about it. When you look at, we did this in our Trivia Tuesday 2 weeks ago, that Clemson played, what, six or seven teams that finished in the AP Top 25 in 2016. He was playing better teams.
Yeah.
And he did beat Ohio State 31-0. So let's not forget about that one. It's not like he can't blow people out. Carson gets in on the text line. This is a good point. Does it make a difference that Jeff Scott was on the way out this year and possibly had his focus on his next job rather than calling championship type level of play, rather than calling championship type level of play calling? Okay, you got what I'm saying. Versus Deshaun Watson era when all cylinders were clicking in the fourth quarter in the championship game. Does that matter to you?
No. Did you think the play calling was suspect in the national? Or let me say this, because I think we can nitpick coaching in just about every game. Do you think they lost because of the play calling was suspect?
No,
in the national
but
championship
I think
game?
The question of was Jeff Scott all there? And again, this is not a critique of Jeff Scott, because I think it's just natural to, for some of the prep time, he was spending some of that time thinking or focusing on USF.
Was that true?
That's just a reality.
Was that true in the Ohio State game?
I guess.
So, I think if we're going to blame that and say that was a part of the LSU game, then we have to identify why it wasn't a part of the Ohio State game.
It's a fair point.
Because Trevor Lawrence played real well. It might be that LSU at that time was a really, really good team and was a better team at that particular time. That was just a better team and played really well. And perhaps that, as we talked about in the aftermath, maybe we underestimated that team. I think if Jeff Scott had one foot out the door, that would have manifested itself in the Ohio State game.
Possibly. I mean, there was a long time between games.
There were a couple weeks.
I think it was 2 weeks. Honestly, it felt longer than normal. The game was later for some. I forget what the reason was.
I was more worried about the Ohio State game from that standpoint, if you're going to be worried, because of the new early signing period. Because your preparation for that game, you're trying to recruit players. Like, in a week, you got to recruit players to sign at USF in the early signing period.
What about this? Is it weirder that, especially going off last season and going off really just last season as a whole, but, and I know that Trevor never played in the fourth quarter, so it's different, but even in the playoff, Trevor was great on the ground versus Ohio State, and a lot of texters are getting that in. No doubt. 16 carries, 107 yards, 6.7 yards per carry, touchdown. The giraffe play when he broke everyone's ankles. He was 18 for 33 passing, 259 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, 54.5% completion. I trust, if we're just talking about making the throws that need to be made, which is what Deshaun did on that final drive, the throw to Mike Williams, the throw to go-go gadget arm Jordan Leggett, and the throw at the end to Renfro. When it just comes down to making the throws, I trust Deshaun. Not saying Trevor can't make them, but to consistently put the ball exactly where it needs to go with your arm, right now, I trust Deshaun more.
Deshaun was brilliant in that particular game. That was his last game. In that game, he was 36 of 56 for 420 yards and three touchdowns. In many respects, I see what Deshaun did in the Alabama game as a little bit similar to what Trevor did in the Ohio State game, in that they fell behind early and they were behind late and it took a couple plays. Like, I'm thinking about two specific instances last year where Trevor Lawrence puts the ball on the money against North Carolina. That was, I mean, neither team has scored in eons. He gives Clemson a lead there, 21-14 to pass to Higgins, when, again, nobody was scoring. I feel like that was a pretty close. I mean, there was still some minutes left, but,
yeah, but
that was a pretty close
there
drive.
There were times in that game where you were thinking, what's going on?
Well, sure.
When you're just focusing on sure. one drive.
Well, and then, I mean, with 2 minutes left, they go four plays, 94 yards.
I know, and again, I know that Trevor did not play in fourth quarters this past year, but Trevor didn't have a single 400-yard passing game this year, and he had two 300-yard passing games. That's it.
Some of that is not playing in fourth
quarter,
though.
I know.
And to your point, level of competition was a factor if we're trying to compare those two. Let's go to Chuck. We got about a minute and a half left before we hit top of the hour. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah, I'll make it very quick. Well, first of all, I want to just mention something on Furman, but a great day the other day as far as the top losses, this and that. And I just wanted to add on what that South Carolina fan said. He was talking about his loss to Tennessee. All right, I was walking around Death Valley at the time. Clemson had a later game that day. And what I remember about that is when Tennessee kicked the field goal to win, there was an unbelievable roar that went up across the whole stadium. Because obviously, you know, everybody wanted South Carolina to lose. And when that field goal went through and Tennessee won, it was like the great. It was like you couldn't believe it. And as far as this Furman thing goes, which really, really bothers me, you're talking about a 125-year-old program that not only was baseball, and all this was said already, is the community. What's strange about it, which doesn't add up, is they bring in a new AD who's trying to build the basketball program connection with the community, with downtown, you know, weekends at the Den, as they call it, this and that, all these games. And they're trying to bring the community together with the school, and now they're cutting one of the strengths of that. And I just, it just doesn't, with an endowment like you guys were talking about, which I've seen on a tweet, which is close to Clemson's.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing, and I just wish, you know, somebody will stand up a little stronger and do something about it.
I'm with you, Chuck. We got to run. I appreciate it. Hour two's next.
Live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT 1560, Cowpens, 97.5, Spartanburg, the Upstate's number one choice for sports.